Tyler Norris. Tyler Norris is our friend and been a key guy here from the beginning of helping us do so much.
Yeah.
Tell us how you came to Jesus, Tyler.
Yes, yeah. Sam, it was actually last week Sam asked me to do this.
And
it was well, you can say that.
I was at a McVeigh. We had a family meeting, and we're all there. And my kids brought up, I would love to hear Tyler Norris's story. I think Faith did. And
my request.
And went around my room of, yeah, let's hear Tyler Norris. So I texted him and said, by popular demand of the McVeighs, please share your Jesus story.
Yes, so like usual, he texted me at like Saturday night telling us to do it.
Right, for the next day.
So I told him, I texted him back and said, oh, Rachel's going to be out of town, and I'm sure she'd want to see it and hear it, and she'd be bummed if she didn't get to hear it. So he texted me. So I asked him, can I do it next Sunday? And he texted back and said, sure. So, I was kind of like, sucker. So I got a whole nother week to think about this. But actually, the Lord's had this on my heart since Sam started talking about this a couple months ago. Learning how to do this, learning how to and say what it is. So here's the deal.
Okay.
Back when I was, it was 32 years ago, I was born over here at SBA and born in 1982 into almost Christian family. My dad actually wasn't saved at that time. He's got a really cool testimony if you ever get a chance to ask him about that. But the Lord kind of gripped his heart a few years into their marriage. So after that, of course, I was essentially born into a Christian family. Both of my parents are incredible. They've consistently, throughout growing up, and even still now, they've put my sister and I before them, before their needs. And they do that with other people, too. And they set an incredible example of Christ in the church and how marriage is supposed to work. So I had a really, I can't emphasize enough how blessed of a life I had growing up. And grew up knowing about Jesus. My parents made me go to church. There were times when I would want to sleep in, and that still happens at age 32 right now. And I don't want to show up. And there were times I would fall asleep in the pew, which I have never done. With you.
I've been watching.
Yes, okay. But they still made me go to church, and I'm thankful for that because through Sunday mornings and through VBS programs and Sunday school, I heard about Jesus. And at home, I heard about Jesus, and I was taught about Jesus. And that inevitably led to me at, I think, age 11.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure on the age, but I can tell you the experience. I remember that vividly. But I think age 11 is when I came to know the Lord and accept the Lord. And I vividly remember at our house over on North Taylor, in a circle, my sister, I, and my mom and dad holding hands, and my parents leading me through the prayer, accepting Christ, and my dad praying for me. I can still see that in my mind today. So I don't specifically remember the age, but I think it was around 11, but I remember that moment, and that kind of started things. So I kind of want to go past that, if that's okay. Okay, because it continues on past that. But I remember that moment very, very vividly, and I believe that's when I was transferred out of Adam and into Christ. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have used that language and told you that back then, but I was saved at that point, and I believe it. So fast forward a couple months later, I reluctantly was baptized, and I say reluctantly because, most of these baptismals in churches are front and center, so 11-year-old, that's kind of nerve-wracking, but then I got baptized over at First Baptist, and if any of you've seen that baptismal, it's front and center and 10 feet up in the air, so it's like a skybox baptismal, so you're on display for everybody, so as an 11-year-old, that's kind of scares you just period, but I reluctantly said yes and did it because I also knew that it was me publicly confessing that I was believing into Christ. So I did understand that, and that's why I ended up doing it despite being in front of everybody. But so fast forward on past that into middle school and high school, and I, like most people's story, I think, believed in the Lord, had some Christian friends, had some non-Christian friends, didn't have any crazy experiences, didn't, go way outside of the box on anything, but I never really had much relationship with the Lord at that point. I knew the Lord, and I knew, had knowledge about the Lord, continued to go to church, continued to do Sunday school, had knowledge, but never, didn't really know the Lord personally at that point. So continue on, after I graduated out of high school, I, like every other normal teenager, after you graduate out of high school, I met a friend who was entrepreneurially minded and started a company out in Washington, D.C., which is not really like other people. I was kind of a freak and enjoyed business and enjoyed entrepreneurship and still lived around here. I would go travel out there and work with clients and such, but still lived around here and went to Butler. And the reason why I throw the little business thing in there is because I was full of a lot of selfish ambition back then. I would tell people when I was 18 that by the time I was 21, I was going to make my first million, which is just crazy, And praise the Lord for his intervention, because most people get up here and praise the Lord for money that the Lord gave them, and I praise the Lord for money that the Lord didn't give me.
Wow.
Because at that age, it would have ruined me. Anywhere in my 20s, it would have ruined me to get that kind of money. Mm. And the Lord withheld that from me and intervened. And he intervened by somebody you all may know, maybe you've heard of before, a guy named Spencer Stewart.
Huh.
Really? Yep. Spencer? Yeah, back in 2000. Yeah, I think maybe you've heard of him a couple times. Familiar. Yeah, sounds familiar. Yeah. I was going to Butler at the time, and Spencer called me with a computer problem, of course, you know, out at his dorm room, his little dorm room at Butler. So I went out there and helped him. And him and I went to school together. We were in the same class together. Never really that close, but he knew me, so he called me, and I went out there to help him on his computer problem. And fast forward another year, two, three years later into 2003, and me, Spencer, and his wife Amber, and a good friend of ours, Garrett Clausen, had decided to start a band. A ministry, which who's not started a band, honestly, really everybody. But we decided to do this, and we were going to be different. And when I say different, I mean we were going to be the same as everybody else. But we were going to do it cooler, you know. It was going to be better than everybody else. Right. We were going to take over the world with Jesus with flashy shows and songs. And praise the Lord again for intervention, because we had a lot of selfish ambition. At least this time there was some good stuff at the heart of it, but there was still a lot of selfish ambition in that as to what we were going after. Mm. And praise the Lord again for intervention. Because in August of 2003, this dude showed up in our lives. Spencer was over at Dick and Tamsel's house, and he was talking to Dick about denial. And praise the Lord for Dick. He had the foresight to say, hey, you need to meet this guy. And I think they connected on the phone for the first time. And the three of us were looking for a place to go on Sunday mornings, didn't really know where we were going to go. And so Spencer and Amber came a couple times, and Spencer and Amber told me, hey, you really ought to come with us. This guy's kind of a freak, and he's interesting to watch. And so we started going there, and I showed up, and I was and he was right. He was kind of an ADD freak up here bouncing around. But there was something different in Sam that I had not noticed in other people before, and it was just his language about how he talked about Jesus and about how you talked about the kingdom and your passion for it. It wasn't a self-motivator kind of passion. It was a I love Jesus passion. And I want to tell the world about him. I want to disciple. There was that kind of passion in him. And I'd never heard that before. I'd been around some good pastors growing up and some good people, but I'd never heard it that way before. So stuck around, fast forward again another year or two, and you took me, I don't know if you remember this, you took me, Andy Brickley, and Tyler Brickley, and discipled us for, gosh, a couple years, I think, consistently. Yes. And that's when things just, the Lord started using Sam to unpack things in me. I think, and you set me on the correct trajectory, you know, to bring me into this next part. I kind of want to give you all a little bit of an exhortation here that rolls me into this next part. Sam, through that, set me on a trajectory, but the body has been the one who has built me up, I think. Jesus, through the body, has built me up over the years into Christ, who is the head. You know, there's so many people throughout the years. You know, I think back, of course, Spencer and Amber and Garrett, but I think of Dick and Tamsel. We did house church with them for a long time. Just a blessed time. Dick had such simplistic wisdom in the Lord. It's incredible. I love that about Dick. There was Andy Brickley and I met after we did discipleship. Andy and I met pretty consistently after that. There was Jonathan Brickley. There's Ryan now, Ryan Vandenberg, who I meet with consistently. There was Dax. There's Luke Beal. Luke and I had a close season together. Yep. There's the list. I could go on and on, and I don't say that to impress you or to try to make them all feel good. I say that because they were the body working together. You know, Ryan Vandenberg says at least 25 times a day the phrase, living stones against living stones. Yep. Because that's the deal, you know. It's iron sharpening iron. I am who I am in Christ today because of the body that's surrounded me. So I want to encourage you all. I know a lot of people here. That's why we do discipleship and house church and get together for lunches and get together. The fellowship is wonderful and the relationship building is great. But the building up that happens in the midst of that is essential and crucial. And I know a lot of you do that here today. But for those that don't, I plead with you to ask the Lord to place somebody on your heart, or ask the Lord for somebody to place them on their heart to get together, whether it's a house church or just one-on-one meeting, because it'll change your life. I guarantee it. I don't want to sound like a cheesy salesman, but it'll really change your life, because I'm a testimony to that. That is my testimony. The salvation that happened was incredible and life essential back at 11 years old, but my testimony is the body of believers, all of you here who have had a part in making me who I am today in Christ. So that's awesome. That's the deal.
That's pretty good, huh? That's awesome, Tyler. Thank you, buddy. Yeah. I cannot even describe what that guy has been to us, and he would not want me to make a big deal out of it, but it's ridiculous what he's done for us infrastructure-wise, and it's over the top. And so that's so great, Tyler. Thank you.